This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, with our biggest sale ever. Furnaces from $39 a month. Furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month. Plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Do not worry that it's raining outside. Do not worry that it's cold outside. Do not worry that it's a Monday and everybody's got a case of the Mondays. I remind you that this is the week. This is the week where Juan Soto puts a Met jersey on for real for the first time. Where the New York Yankees begin their defense of an American League championship. It's opening week, and we'll get to the baseball a little bit later on. But the other thing that, in my humble opinion, should make you smile is that for the first time in months, the Giants quarterback room is not just Tommy DeVito. Because late Friday night, the New York Giants did something that I know a lot of people in the audience may not be excited about. I know some on our staff may not be excited about.
Actually, I think a lot of people in our audience were excited about this. Well, how many calls did we get asking for Jameis Winston?
But you know what I've learned, Teak? People love stuff before it happens. And then when it happens, they're like, yeah, I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, as an IFO, I think the New York Giants did the right thing bringing in Jameis Winston on a lot of levels. Now, we have to admit, the Giants are a puzzle, right? A lot of sports teams are puzzles when you're not complete with an offseason.
Yep.
So Jameis Winston could be the starting quarterback week one of the New York Football Giants. Jameis Winston could be the backup quarterback to a veteran quarterback for the New York Football Giants. It's also possible, Teak, that Jameis Winston is the third string quarterback for the New York Giants. So I understand that the puzzle has still not been completed, but as far as the first piece that you place on the board at the most important position in sports, I like the fact that the New York Football Giants went out and added Jameis Winston.
I think when you build rooms in your football office, it is important about the characters in those rooms. So offensive linemen, you need those grinders. You need some of those guys that are just flat-out jerks. They're going to maul people and drag them on the ground, all that kind of stuff. Running backs, you want the smart guys, but you also want the tough ones. But in the quarterback room, you need those guys that are just natural leaders, right? They are willing to make everybody in that room better. And Jameis Winston is that. Now, if he is playing a lot this season, it'll be awesome, but it'll also be really frustrating because that's just Jameis. And so when I think about what the Giants did with Jameis in signing Jameis Winston, it was, one, what you alluded to. They needed to put some bodies in the quarterback room. Just weren't any there. Aaron Rodgers wasn't really I don't know if he's really even an option anymore. It feels like he's Pittsburgh or retirement at this point. At least that's my assessment of it. Russell Wilson, I think, wants the Giants more than the Giants actually want him. And then all the other veterans are just like, they're afterthoughts.
Right.
Right? Those are guys that you could sign middle of April or probably after the NFL draft. I think Jameis Winston gives you an idea that if you can get him right, not to throw interceptions, but he's an idea that could be enticing. That's why they go and get Jameis Winston.
And if there's any head coach that could get the idea right with Jameis Winston, wouldn't it be Brian Daboll, who
yes.
twice in his career, once as an offensive coordinator with Josh Allen, and then here with Daniel Jones, was able to get a turnover-prone player to limit mistakes?
Yes.
And the truth is, with Jameis Winston, forget about how funny he is, or forget about his personality, forget about all that for a second. That's his bugaboo, is turning the football over, and Brian Daboll at least has a track record of fixing that issue with two other quarterbacks.
Right. And so if you're Jameis, you probably are reveling in this opportunity, because if there's one knock about him, it's that he's just a turnover machine. I remember that first year, or maybe it was his last year, definitely his last year, in Tampa with Bruce Arians. Because Bruce came in and... who is a quarterback god, he says, I'm going to fix Jameis Winston. That was his one sole goal in Tampa, was to fix Jameis Winston. And Jameis had a hell of a season, threw for almost 5,000 yards, had 33 touchdowns on the season, which led the league. But he threw 30 interceptions. And after that season, Bruce Arians was like, nah, I can't do it. Sorry, I gotta find something else. Give me Tom Brady. And so they went off and got Tom Brady. And by the way, Jameis thought he was getting paid that year. Right, he thought that he was going to be one of the top paid quarterbacks in football because he was elite, but he lost so many games with pick sixes and became a liability more than an asset, and he's been a journeyman ever since. But I don't know if Dabes can fix him, but I'm going to trust that Dabes thinks he can fix him.
Well, and also we're going to find out over the next few weeks if he's going to be set up with a chance to be fixed by starting.
Yes.
Or if this was literally Joe Shane learning from the mistake of last year.
Right, don't wait till the end and get Drew Lock.
Right, don't wait and get nothing.
Yes.
Like, let me get a veteran quarterback to throw in that room. What will Jameis Winston's role be? I don't know yet. We'll see. Aaron Rodgers hasn't made a decision yet. The Giants haven't given up on signing Aaron Rodgers. They haven't walked away from signing Russell Wilson. They haven't walked away from trading up and getting Cam Ward. Like, there are still endless possibilities, and the fact that they didn't pay him a lot of money, to me, this was a no-brainer. So on Friday nights, I was sitting there in my house. I was even telling my wife. She's like, who the hell is Jameis Winston? I said, you know
what?
She
doesn't know who Jameis Winston is.
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't. Come on now.
I said, honey.
Are you not watching football, Miss Roberts?
That is correct. Yes, not watching football. I said, honey, this is the first time I've said this in a while. And she said, what are you going to say? I said, I think the Giants did something smart. And she's like, wow, it's good to hear you say something complimentary about the New York Football Giants. And then my night was ruined.
Why?
Because I see my guy, Sean Morash, have a mental breakdown on social media. And I'm not even going to read all of his tweets other than the first one. Because this guy went on Jameis Winston, I hate him diarrhea for about 6 hours. But the first tweet I saw was, quote, there are not enough edibles on the planet Earth to help me sleep tonight knowing there's a chance Jameis Winston throws 40 interceptions for the Giants next year. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got uglier, and it got uglier. So, Sean, Tiki's happy. I'm happy. I think most people in the audience are happy. We'll find out at 888-808-1019. Even Loogie was like, yeah, I'm good. And he wasn't pissed. He wasn't excited. He was good. Why the mental breakdown over Jameis Winston? The floor is yours.
Evan, in the 72 hours that have cleared since then, you said the thing that needs to be said, and the only thing that will calm me down. The Giants are a puzzle, and this is a piece of a puzzle.
Yes.
I cannot deny that. I can't agree with it. The idea, though, of Jameis Winston starting games as their potential best option to start games, and many Giants fans, by the way, took the social media feeling like that was possible Friday night in a positive way, makes me throw up all over myself.
Why?
Now, look.
Come on, man.
Teak, I love Dabes. I think Dabes could be a great coach. We talked about the turnover stuff. Jameis Winston ain't getting fixed, okay? And you brought up Bruce Arians. I'll give you another one. Kevin Stefanski's a pretty renowned, damn good quarterback coach. Found the most out of freaking Case Keenum back in the day under Pat Shurmur. He had 1 year with him. That team still needs a quarterback. Jameis was dirt cheap. Just keep that in mind. Didn't bring him back for all the leadership, all that other stuff.
It's because he threw out of 7 interceptions or whatever it was.
Here's the other issue with the New York Giants. They are, whether we like it or not.
Sorry, 12 interceptions last year in 7 games.
Whether we can accept this or not, the Giants just spent a season where they were by far the biggest joke of an NFL organization perceptually. Whether it was the Saquon Barkley stuff, whether it was the losing, everything that went wrong. And Jameis Winston, for everybody to go, look how much...
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's fun, Jameis is going to be. No, he's not. He's fun because he does his one positive is he throws the ball down the field that we've struggled with. Everything else about him has been bad in his career to the point the turnovers have been extreme. And the idea that because he's a fun, smile on your face, walking meme just makes the Giants a bigger joke if he's doing that stuff while the team's losing. Do you think the line "deliver me from pick sixes" is funny when it's your own team? No, it's not. The organization's a joke when that happens.
That was not on our team, so I don't mind.
That's my point. That's my point.
I don't mind it. But I look back and I say, look, when was he really good? And so I talked about the Tampa year where he threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. I mean, his touchdown percentage is just, it was ridiculous. And then 2 years later, he's in New Orleans. He starts 7 games. He's 5-2 in those 7 games. This is Sean Payton coach team. He throws for only 1,100 yards, and his completion percentage wasn't great, but he threw 14 touchdowns. out of however many attempts, 160 attempts. That's like almost 9%, which is double.
We haven't had that.
You don't see that, right? So I think the upward potential is really interesting with him as long as he limits the mistakes. And that, it's a big if. It's a massive caveat. But here's why I also like Jameis Winston to the New York Giants. Because I do think, like a lot of people, that they're going to take a quarterback at some point in this draft. Maybe they get somebody at 3, or maybe they wait and go get Jackson Dart later in the first round, or draft one of these other kids that are slowly climbing up the boards at quarterback, because there's not many available. And if Jameis is bad, and he's a liability, and he's costing you games, he is easy to bench. You just sit him down.
Much easier than Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers.
Russell Wilson wants $30 million from Cleveland, at least. I don't know what he's asking for from the New York Giants. But again, he wants the Giants more than the Giants want him. And so I think that Jameis gives you flexibility when, if inevitably, you have to change to that young quarterback. Whereas Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers do not.
Yeah, so that aspect, absolutely true.
Is that a sell, though?
Excuse me?
Is that a sell?
It's not a sell. He signed for $4 million.
I know, and I agree, but the idea we go into this going, hey, look, he's easy to bench. That's not exactly a ringing endorsement.
Look, there's a lot of layers.
And he's a good veteran. He's a clown sometimes, and he's probably sometimes not a really good football player, but it's just, you had to get somebody. You had to fill the room. You couldn't just say, we'll figure it all out once April comes.
No, you needed to get someone in. Look, there's a lot of different reasons or arguments for and against Jameis Winston. So instead of you moving it all over the place, where do you want to start? Is your start, I don't trust him to play? Because I'll attack that right away if that's what you want to do.
The play is certainly one thing. If it's all about the touchdown passes, I think he negates almost all of them with these turnovers.
Like I said, it's a puzzle. And there is a possibility Jameis Winston never plays for the New York Giants. That is absolutely on the table. It's possible he's the third string quarterback. It's possible he's a backup for a veteran. I want to at least attack the what if he plays card.
Okay.
The fact that he starts the year. I'm so sick of hearing about how Kevin Stefanski is God's gift to quarterbacking. Like, he got a lot out of Baker Mayfield, but did they make a great decision letting Baker Mayfield go?
They did not.
Okay, so because Winston got benched by Stefanski and the Browns couldn't wait to move on from him, please stop using that as any piece of evidence that he's damaged. I want to just start with that. Is that not fair to say?
That's fair. Let's move on now. Okay, I have a hard time saying, look what Daves has done while discounting Stefanski.
No, that's all. Brian Daboll's not Kevin Stefanski on a lot of levels, good and bad, by the way.
Right. I don't think anybody's discounting Kevin Stefanski. I'm not. I think he's a good coach.
No, what I'm saying is don't use the argument, because Sean already did this, about Winston saying, well, if Kevin Stefanski couldn't fix him and benched him and got rid of him,
he was an afterthought in Cleveland.
Exactly. There's a lot of reasons why that happened. I trust Brian Daboll's been here for a couple of years and has not really had much of kind of quarterback mold to try to mold into.
Yes.
Which a lot of it I put on Joe Shane. I am very intrigued to see what Brian Daboll, who brought Daniel Jones's interception percentage down to the lowest of his career, really helped develop Josh Allen. I am curious what he can do with a guy who's still only 31 years old. With a guy who's capable of throwing the deep ball, which Daboll wants.
Right.
With a guy who's going to have a wide receiver in Malik Nabers who is as talented as anybody. Like, I'll admit this, and I'm saying this as an IFO, not as a giant homer, not as a giant hater. If anybody can fix Jameis Winston, and I'm not ready to give up on him at 31 years old. I was intrigued with him with the Jets as a possibility of throw it against the kind of wall and let me see. I think there's a possibility that Daboll could turn him into a better quarterback than we've seen the last couple of years. And I'm surprised that you're dismissing that so out of hand, like that's impossible.
I think that we know what Jameis is at this point in his career. I think we know his limitations, and I think we know his strengths.
Did we know what Geno Smith was at this point in his career?
No, we did not.
In fairness, Geno didn't play a lot. Two first years, threw a ton of interceptions with the New York Jets.
Jameis
didn't basically play for like 8 years.
Has Jameis played a lot the last couple of years?
He is not.
That's my point.
But he's also been with two organizations that are dying for quarterback play, and they couldn't have him.
Sam Darnold and Geno Smith were with multiple organizations that were dying for quarterback play. Keep going.
Because
I'll do this all day. You don't know. He's 31 years old.
If we were
he's
under
not 41 years old.
Evan, though, if the New York Giants organization, and I could hear this, wanted to operate under the assumption of we want to get a veteran we don't know about, then they should have been way more active on Justin Fields and Jameis Winston, if that's your sell to me. Because I think I still kind of don't know what Fields is, and I know what Winston is.
First of all, I agree about giving Fields a chance. Obviously, my team is doing it. Here's what I think the difference is, and Tiki kind of hit on it. I think Jameis Winston's just so happy to have an opportunity, while in Justin Fields' case, I think you need to promise him he was going to play.
Yeah.
I think the Jets probably whispered into his ear, Winston could be the third-string quarterback. And I think when he signed that contract on Friday, if he's actually signed it or agreed to it, he probably knew that. And was like, I'll take the risk anyway.
Yes.
So I'm just disagreeing with the notion that it's a lost cause. If given the opportunity to play with a talent like Malik Nabers, with a coach like Brian Daboll, they can't turn him into anything. I think that it's still possible. Now, the question is, Teague, because of these puzzle pieces, is that ever going to even be something the Giants try to do? Because, again, he very well could be their third-string quarterback who never plays.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case. I know I keep reading everything, and I'm sure all you Giant fans are reading the same thing, that, hey, Aaron Rodgers could still come to the New York Giants, or that Russell Wilson could still come to the New York Giants. It just seems increasingly an unlikely proposition. And so Jameis Winston has as good a chance as anybody to start this season as the New York Giants starting quarterback. He is a starter in this league. He has been in this league, and he has the skill set to be really good. But he's also a liability. That's the facts on Jameis Winston. With that being said, he's a great locker room guy. Everybody in that locker room will love him. You might have gotten annoyed with him from Hard Knocks in season, Sean, but that's editing, right? That's editing to make you feel that way. But Jameis Winston is as good a dude as there is.
Okay, then I'm going to take you back to Jameis Winston in 2023, in that last week of the year. And I think we were all kind of agreeing we had a good laugh about this.
Mm-hmm.
What about him completely defying and thumbing his nose at a head coach's orders about running up a score on the very last play?
That was for his running back. He did that for his running back.
And then stands up there at a microphone, basically. He might as well have spit in Dennis Allen's face at that point. And yeah. I don't even like Allen as head coach. That's not a good look for a leader, though.
He wasn't the
How
leader.
Can I defend that,
he
though?
He was the backup quarterback. He was the Saints' backup quarterback. But they put him in to take a knee. He said, no, I'm not taking a knee. I'm getting a touchdown for the guy who led the league in touchdowns.
You know what that
ago.
Showed me more than anything?
Okay.
That Dennis Allen had the respect of nobody in that room.
And Dennis Allen had no pulse on his team. None at all.
Correct.
I can't deny that. But that's still a quarterback. You guys are telling me he's a leader doing that to a head coach.
I would tell you that Winston probably didn't do the right thing. But my biggest takeaway from that whole extravaganza was not only Tiki going off on a caller about it, but my other biggest takeaway was, boy, no one respects Dennis Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens to Brian Daboll this year, trust me, the story isn't going to be about the quarterback that defied him. The story is going to be Brian Daboll needs to find another job. And that's the takeaway I took from that. And by the way, what happened to Dennis Allen?
He got fired the next year.
But aren't we talking...
Mid-season, next year.
We're talking about a head coach on the hot seat. Don't you think it's a pretty big gamble when we're 13 months removed from a quarterback?
Don't think Brian Daboll, in his time here...
They're two different people.
Well, I also don't think he's losing the respect of the room the way Dennis Allen did.
Right.
Like, you could say a lot of things about Brian Daboll because he hasn't won enough, clearly. But I haven't seen that. Look, I think this is a complicated puzzle. And we will attack what the Giants should do next, and we'll talk to you at 888-808-1019. But I thought bringing a veteran like this in at 31 years old, with the veteran leadership, with still, in my opinion, the untapped potential that he has,
mm-hmm.
I thought the Giants made a really smart move. I really do. And I'm an IFO. And yet Sean looks like he's got to go to the bathroom right now.
I'm taking this with the piece of the puzzle mentality, Evan. Take it back up on my team, fine. I can't have him start in week one.
We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019, including, as we alluded to, the possibility that the Giants could still add a veteran. Well, where does that leave them in the NFL draft? We'll get to it coming up, plus what Francisco Lindor had to say about Luis Angel Acuña and how it should alarm you a little bit. 888-808-1019. As the Giants are putting together their quarterback puzzle, we'll examine how things will look if they still add Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. We'll get to it in the next 8 minutes, but let's get to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. We'll get to some baseball a little bit later on, including what Francisco Lindor said about Luis Angel Acuña. And we'll examine what Rick Pitino said in trying to explain the benching of R.J. Lewis over the last 4.5 minutes of St. John's loss on Saturday. And obviously, just get this out of the way. Congratulations to Sean Morash, obviously, is the number one St. John's hater. Congratulations on your victory Saturday afternoon.
It was tough for me, man. It's tough to see the Johnnies go home like that. My condolences to everybody out there, including Spike Lee. I know it was a long season for all of them. Hope everybody's all right.
You know what you just did? And I heard BT and Sal do this, and they made a mistake. Because I know this from experience. Beggars can't be choosers, okay?
If Spike Lee or anyone else starts rooting for the upstart Nets in 2 years, I'm not going to mock them. I'm going to say, thank you.
Whispers. Spike Lee rooted for the Nets during the Jason Kidd era.
Exactly! And I didn't bitch at it. I was like, come on down. When Tommy Lugauer starts rooting for the Nets because the Knicks have no more draft picks and Jalen Brunson's in a walker.
Yeah, well, that's not happening, but okay.
I will welcome you, Tommy.
I'm good.
Okay.
I will choose celibacy in that. Is the vitamin water guy all right?
Yeah, we'll bring him in. All right, let's go to Tom in Hillsboro to kick it off on this beautiful Monday. How are you, Tom?
What's going on, boys? How you guys doing?
We're good. What's up, dude?
What's up?
Hey, well, first off, just a big Giant fan, and Tiki, thank you for everything, all the years that you've given us as Giants.
Appreciate that.
So, but I'm going to ask a hard question right now, and you guys might be able to comment on it, but my personal feeling is John Mara is one of the worst owners in the NFL, and he started the downward path for the Giants back in 2015 when he told Colin Coughlin to show them the door. If you look at John Mara's resume of people that he's hired, they've been awful. So, quite frankly, I think Joe Shane's a great GM. I think Brian Daboll's a good head coach, and I think John Mara needs to go back to his corner.
Time out. Because you contradicted yourself, and I don't want to hang up on you. I want you to answer.
No, that's okay.
I would agree that John Mara's biggest issue over the last decade, is not hiring the right people. Okay, yeah. I'm totally with you. But then you said Joe Shane is a wonderful GM, and you trust Brian Daboll. If that's the case, then what the hell are you bitching about John Mara for? He hired those two guys.
Right.
Because every time, once in a while, a dog does find his tail, you know?
Yeah, but I think everybody's looking for an excuse. I would argue Charles Bidwell. I'd argue...
Do it. Just say his name. Say his name!
David Tepper?
No. You want to name bad owners?
I would say his name, the McCaskies in Chicago.
That's not what I'm looking for.
I think Jerry Jones has been pretty bad. Tiki. They haven't won a Super Bowl in a really long-ass time.
Say my name.
I would say Jim Irsay.
No, keep going.
Hasn't been really good either, as well as being compromised in some regards here and there.
The Woodpecker. What was the first name of that Woodpecker?
The Jets suck.
Yeah, what was the name of the Woodpecker? I forgot.
Oh, that Johnson. That Johnson
something
guy.
Something the Woodpecker.
Oh, Woody.
What? I'm sorry, did you just say Woody? You got a Woody?
You did. I did it.
You better say Woody's name right now.
Woody.
Thank you. If I'm ranking ownership, and it's tough, because like, what makes a good owner, what makes a bad owner? In my opinion, the best owners are the ones that are willing to spend and get the hell out of the way.
Yes.
Okay?
Like Josh Harris.
Yes, absolutely.
Like Jeffrey Lurie.
I think kind of like Steve Cohen. I believe he's sort of gotten out of the way. Some Met fans think he's hands-on. I don't think he is. I think you gave David Stearns a lot of money and said, go make some magic. I think that Woody Johnson has not gotten out of the way. And that's why, while I am not confident in John Mara's ability to pick the right GMs and coaches until he proves me and everyone else wrong, I would tell you that John Mara is not even the worst owner in this hometown. Woody Johnson's worse. Until Woody proves he can put his toys away and stop playing with other toys. Wait, that doesn't make sense. Right. Until Woody proves he can keep his hands to himself. That sounds like I'm implying something. I'm going to take that back. Until Woody Johnson doesn't allow his teenage kids.
Ah, there you go.
To tell GMs what trades to make or not, he's the worst. Now, if John Mara starts allowing some Mara grandkids to make football moves, that would be a problem. But in all seriousness, has he hired the right guys in the last 10 years? The answer so far has been no.
Mm-hmm.
So far it's been no. There's no denying it. But going back to the decision to get rid of Tom Coughlin, what would have happened if he didn't?
Right.
Ever play that game?
It was coming to an end.
It was over.
Yeah, it had run its course.
So what would have happened? Like, it just would have been bad, and it was going to end badly no matter what.
Yeah, and what are you going to do? Have a coach for life?
No, like, seriously. Ask the Yankees with Joe Torre.
Yeah,
that ended badly, too.
Right.
It
always ends badly in the end.
I'm trying to think of examples where it didn't end badly.
Well, you mean long-tenured?
Bill left on his own, so I guess you could say that didn't end badly. Because Bill was like, I'm done.
Right, I was going to say who we were talking about earlier, Bruce Arians, but he was only in Tampa for 4 years, three years, something like that.
Yeah.
He kind of won a Super Bowl and was like, see y'all, I'm out.
Like, think about it in New York sports and some of our great coaches. Most of the time, it ends badly. It just is what it is. Let's go to Erica in Huntington. How are you, Erica?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
We're good.
On this rainy day.
Oh, good.
Beautiful. Hey, So I've been a Giants fan my whole life. I'm 44. Tiki, appreciate you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
So, you know, I am so happy about Winston coming. And I don't think we need to sign anyone else, you know, in the vet room. I don't I don't know why we have to get another vet. Like, draft Sanders, develop him. We got Tommy. You know, Jameis hopefully will be exciting and help us win some more games than last year. I mean, we can't go anywhere but up at this point. You know, the fans, we're starved to see someone throw a deep ball. We are starved. We are so deprived of seeing some good throws, some football, some catches. I mean, like, I think that's what we should do.
Well, he's going to be entertaining, Erica. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And Jameis Winston can win games. Like, I know people are hearing all of the negatives about Jameis and the interceptions, but he's won a lot of games in his career.
Yeah.
And so, yes, will he confound you and lose some at the end of the game, making plays that, you know, turn into pick sixes? Absolutely. But it's not like he's a terrible quarterback who has a, you know, a horrible winning record in his career. So, Jameis, he's fine. I think that's the best way to put it. He's fine. He's not going to excite you because he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to depress you because he's not Drew Locke. He's fine. He can throw a lot of touchdowns. He's not afraid to sling the ball anywhere. And he's going to be entertaining, even if it's negative entertainment.
He has started 17 games in the last 6 years. 17 games in the last 6 years. He just hasn't played.
Right.
And you know what his record is in those 17 games? And obviously quarterback record can be misleading. I totally get that. But just you want to guess what his record is in those 17 games? It's 8-9. Mm. It's not 2-15.
Right. It's average.
It's average.
He's very average.
And I'd have to look back on this because I'm looking purely at his numbers. But right. In 2021 with the Saints, he led them to a 5-2 record and threw 14 touchdown passes to 3 interceptions.
Yes.
Like, I'm looking at that and I'm like, what am I missing here? Sean Payton was there.
Sean Payton. That's the difference.
But that's my point. Brian Daboll couldn't get the most out of him.
And then Payton left, let's not forget.
Yep.
And it was Dennis Allen then the following year.
Exactly.
And so he didn't really play that following year, except for at the end when he... Actually, I think that might have been 2 years.
That was the following year. He was there for 2 more years after Peyton left, to your point, and that's when he got involved in that incident Sean cited where he overruled Dennis Allen. But we saw something out of him 4 years ago. He hasn't played a lot, but there's been something there. And so I understand our last caller's point about, all right, that's my veteran. Now go draft somebody young that you can develop, and I'll live with Winston kind of in that Kurt Warner role that you dealt with when you were playing.
Yeah. And I think he'll fit that role fine.
Let's go to Chris in Fort Lee, New Jersey. How are you, Chris?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, a couple points on the Jameis Winston signing. Just wanted to point to recent reclamation projects like Sam Darnold, Geno Smith have worked out, plus the contract, only 2 years, $8 million. You could fill out the roster, a lot of cap room, freeze you up at the number 3 pick. You could hopefully take Travis Hunter. Doesn't work out, draft the quarterback next season, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, it leaves you options. I think the biggest thing, and that's what the Giants wanted, is flexibility at this point. It's not, we need to find our solution and win 12 games in 2025. It's, we need a plan, and we need a short-term solution. And Jameis Winston is the best one that's available.
Do you like that plan?
It's not a pain in the ass.
Do you like that plan?
I do. I don't mind it at all.
Do you like that plan there, Shawnee? Are you warming up to it?
I don't like any plan that involves Jameis Winston starting in a non-injury situation. I really don't. I really don't.
Maybe they'll draft a quarterback, and that quarterback will Russell Wilson it.
Please.
Will just be so much better. Who was the quarterback? I forget.
It was
Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn.
That's right.
So much better than Matt Flynn in Seattle that Russell Wilson, who was a not first-round draft pick, third-round draft pick, won the job, and 2 years later, won a Super Bowl.
That would be God rescuing us from pick sixes.
But
that could happen, by the way.
It could only happen if this puzzle stops with Jameis Winston. If the puzzle continues to Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
I'm done with Aaron Rodgers. I don't even want to talk about him anymore.
I know you are, but I don't think the Giants are.
I don't either, but I don't think they've met with him, so...
You're saying Evan Roberts' brain was wrong on Friday when my brain reported they will meet with Aaron Rodgers over the weekend?
I believe in the Giants.
Because he was already in Pittsburgh. Hey, we're close enough. Just hop on over on the Learjet or whatever the heck he flies in and come visit us here in the Meadowlands.
Well, here's the reality. So while I love having the ownership of January 8th and being able to sell you guys on Aaron Rodgers to the New York Giants, and we were all over it, and Tiki hated it at first, and Loogie hated it at first. As we sit here on March 24th, the situation on bringing Aaron Rodgers in now versus when I sold it in early January is very different and more complicated now. Because I love the idea of bringing Rodgers in, basically telling him the deal. Like, this is going to be the situation.
Yep.
We may bench you. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it feels like the Giants don't have the power in this.
Right.
And so, if they sign Aaron Rodgers, I kind of view it as they're probably not even going to draft a quarterback.
And why would you, and especially the number that we're hearing that was floated out there. It was like $45 million.
You're not benching that guy.
Absolutely
not. And if
not.
You're not benching the guy, I'm with you. I'm no longer interested in Aaron Rodgers.
And you lose what we talked about you now have with Jameis Winston. One of his last callers just said, flexibility. It gives you options to do what you want or need to do in whatever point in the season. Jameis gives you options. He can either be really good, and he's severely underpaid, and maybe he goes someplace else next year, or you bench him and you start the young kid.
So what are the Giants thinking? We'll try to get in their brains next, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. That's the toll-free number. We have a very, very busy show today. We're days away from opening day. The Mets are playing the Yankees right now in a spring training game. We'll get to some baseball a little bit later on. Also, why did Rick Pitino sit RJ Lewis? Forget about your theories. We'll hear from the coach himself and try to analyze it. 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki on a Monday. I surmise, Tiki. It's not what I would do. I'm surmising and trying to get in the head of Joe Shane because I feel like we all know him so well from Hard Knocks last year.
Yep.
If they sign Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, which reportedly they're still in play for, I think they're passing on a young quarterback. I think they are going to take the approach to 2025 of, all right, we got ourselves a veteran Super Bowl winning quarterback, whether it's Russ or Aaron Rodgers. We have a very capable backup in Jameis Winston,
mm-hmm.
and we like our roster. And we're going to use that third overall pick for someone who can enhance this roster even more, whether it's a guy like Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter or whomever.
Right. Will and Campbell, whatever.
So that, do you think I'm right that will be the sign that if they do get another veteran, as we try to figure out the giant quarterback puzzle, that means they're not drafting a young quarterback, at least in the premium rounds of this draft?
It wouldn't make sense to, unless they're going to draft someone, you're right, in the non-premium round, so third, fourth, fifth round, whatever it may be, who is a more Tommy DeVito competitor than a competitor for the starting job. But if they take one of these kids early, and whether it's Cam or Shador or even Jackson Dart, you got to believe that the kid's going to get a real opportunity to try to win the starting job in training camp.
No question.
And, you know, because, look, if Jameis Winston is your veteran, he's not guaranteed to start. He hasn't started consistently in 5 years.
Well, so, the kid could start, clearly.
100%. And, by the way, if I was Dabes, that's what I would want. I would want a young kid who's coming out of college, confident in himself, believing that he can be the starting quarterback.
So I just want to make sure, because I am surrounded by Giant fans. It's a very awkward situation sometimes with all of you guys, especially when you look at me like I got 57 heads. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. You've made it clear. You're out on Rodgers.
Out.
You're out on Russ.
Out.
You are good with, let me draft a young quarterback, and that's my quarterback room. Let's go.
Yep.
Okay. Tommy Lugauer, where do you stand? Because you flipped on Rodgers. You wanted Rodgers. Where are you right now with this quarterback room?
I still want Aaron Rodgers. If he doesn't make his decision by the draft, draft a quarterback. I think it's that simple.
But if they do sign Rodgers, you are out on drafting a quarterback in the premium rounds. And I want to clarify that because, yes, could you take a flyer in the fourth or fifth round? I'm talking about first two or three rounds of this draft. You're out on drafting a young quarterback.
That's correct if Aaron Rodgers is here.
Okay. And that's still your preferred option.
Well, I mean, you're win now. I think if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, I'd rather have Travis Hunter, by the way, great commercial with Tom Brady. And I also would take Abdul Carter. I just think you're taking impact players. You're going for the win now approach. I think Aaron Rodgers has a lot left in the tank, not what we saw with the Jets. And they have a chance to win. If it's not Rodgers and it's Jameis, draft a quarterback. And by the way, I would draft a quarterback at three, even if Shador and Cam Ward are gone. Whether that's Milroe, whether that's Jackson Dart, get a young quarterback
really?
In
really? That high? No chance.
If the draft last year was this year, if they redrafted, Bo Nix wouldn't have went 12. He would probably went like 4 or 5. So I don't always go off of projections. If right. I like a quarterback, if they need a quarterback, take him at 3.
You know where I think you could be right, Teague? I think that... And look, it's all about if you believe in the quarterback or not. If you think those guys suck, then don't take them clearly.
I just think it's really bad to miss on a top 10 pick at quarterback. It's just bad. It's devastating.
I agree, but where I think he's right is that the way the trends are working, those guys won't be there for the Giants later. So if you really want to take a quarterback and you like them, I think that instead of getting cute or looking at positional value,
right,
you almost have to take them because you're not getting, like Jackson Dart, you're not getting.
Nope.
We can all agree on
Jalen
that.
Jalen Milroe is going to go early,
I agree,
too. And McCord probably.
I think they're both gone. So I get your point, and I would probably lean towards, boy.
Yeah.
I like Abdul Carter. How can I pass?
I'll take Tyler Shock.
Tyler Shock. He's the quarterback out of Louisville.
Yes.
I've been doing research lately. Sean, where are you? So Jameis is here. You obviously hate him. You had your little meltdown over the last few days.
Yeah.
What do you want him to do now?
I still want to be invested in either Wilson or Rodgers.
You do?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm drafting a quarterback third. Now, this is where I think the Winston signing makes sense. The Giants still do not control their own destiny on Ward and Sanders. There's two of those guys, and they're picking third.
That's nerve-wracking.
And that, to me, is where the nerves come in for the Giants. That's where I think the Jameis signing makes sense. But Jameis and the money he's making doesn't stop you from veteran and rookie. What it does is it's break glass in case of emergency. You know what? We're going to not be forced to take Jackson Dart third overall. Jameis Winston is our Jackson Dart in that spot.
If you get Rodgers, who you still want, I want to clarify, you still want Rodgers.
And wants a strong word. I wish we weren't in the situation where we had to want any of these guys. But yes.
If the glass breaks today and it's announced the Giants got Rodgers, your reaction is what?
All right, let's go. We got a veteran we could win some games with this year.
You're excited.
Yeah, as excited as one could be for a 41-year-old.
So you just don't feel excited about Jameis because you don't think you can win games with him.
Yeah, I think that's the first reason, yeah. Even though
statistically that's not true.
I mean, 41-64 says statistically he's a loser.
Say it one more time.
He's 15 games on the 500 for his career.
He's played 17 games in the last 6 years.
Okay, so now we're going to cherry pick the last 6 years.
No,
his
no,
career I, says he's in a well under 500 quarterback.
It's a long time ago.
Okay.
What does Geno Smith's track record tell you about his time with the Jets?
I pray that Brian Daboll turns him in and I could have the biggest egg on my face. I think I've seen enough of Jameis Winston in his career. And my biggest issue, again, is the Giants are a joke, and I think Jameis Winston is the caricature of jokes. I don't want that with my team.
Let's go to Pat in Weston, Connecticut. What's up, Pat?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good afternoon.
What's up, man?
You know, I agree with Tommy a little bit. Guys, I still want Aaron Rodgers because he could win some games. And that would still lead me. I'm the guy who said I want the big guy from LSU.
Yeah.
Because with a less mobile quarterback, we want more blocking up there. And with our schedule, that's why I don't want to throw a rookie out there right away. This schedule's brutal. These teams are going to be good.
Yeah.
And I want to see a good veteran. And even, you know, you need a backup like Jameis because quarterbacks get hurt. And you're going to throw a rookie in there if Rodgers goes down against this type of schedule?
Well, it's tough. You're right. In terms of winning games, you're right. But I think if you draft a young quarterback, and I think back to your year of 2004, you were there for more than 1 year, but I'm saying the year you were there with this situation, you're looking at development more than anything else. And if you believe the young quarterback is ready,
yes,
and you believe that the veteran quarterback is just making you spin your wheels, schedule or not, you're going to find out what that young guy is.
Can we also see the actual schedule before we assume this? Because, yeah,
the schedule's tough, Sean. You know, come
on, Evan.
Well, the opponents are tough.
This is my point, though.
We don't know what the schedule is, how it's going to line up.
What if the Giants' schedule the first 3 weeks happened to be like Saints, Patriots, Bears? You might look at that and go, well, that's the time for the rookie to start. You know what I mean? You don't want to give to the veteran, and then the rookie start versus the Chiefs later in the year.
You're going to do it, though, if that kid is ready.
I understand.
And it's a tough
that.
One to define, because a lot of these guys aren't. Some of them are. I mean, C.J. Stroud was ready. I hand it to him.
But you know the way it is. Timing and the place. We always say this when these rookies come out. What's the best soft spot to hit them in the schedule? It could be early.
Let's go to Jim in Elmont, New York. Jim.
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, just I was watching yesterday Nick Fan TV. And he had on Chuck D from A Public Enemy.
Yes.
And
Chuck D is a big supporter of Nick Fan TV. He's on a lot. Yes.
And yes, excellent. Plus, I enjoy that content he provides.
He does a great job, yes.
GP is fantastic. But anyway, awesome. Chuck D, the subject of the Brooklyn Nets came up. And Chuck D said that they're a...
The Nets still in the league?
A nomad organization, went through their history bouncing around.
Okay.
He said that they should move to either Seattle or Nashville.
The hapless Nets.
And he said that they've been a cursed organization since they traded away Dr. J. So basically,
Dr.
the gist of what he's saying, obviously, is that they, coming from, and I'm definitely independent. I've rooted for Brooklyn and Knicks at different points.
All right.
That the point of they would be better off as an organization.
Let me address this, because I've heard Jerry Ferrara used to say this to me too. Chuck D says this, they should move. The Nets,
Why would they move?
It's stupid. Say what you want about the franchise or their history. They literally sell out almost every game.
They do.
Now, I mean, I know that's tough to believe.
It's unexplainable, but it makes sense when you consider that it's something to do. It's like they play good teams sometimes.
It's explainable in that there are a lot of basketball fans in this city.
Yeah.
And one thing we've learned about like rivals with companies and businesses is you don't have to surpass the big business to be a profitable business.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brooklyn Nets, forget about their tanking or their roster or how many people care, or if we're talking about it on WFAN, are a profitable business now. So I like Chuck D, and I'm sure CP was thinking to himself, come on, you're wrong here. But obviously, it's a dumb point. They shouldn't move. You don't have to like them, but this is kind of part of my issue I have with some Knicks fans. And Tommy, you're actually not one of them, so I'm not ill will towards you.
Why would you want to get rid of basketball?
Well, stupid.
In New York City.
There are Knicks fans who don't want the Nets to even exist.
Oh, I'll buy that. I think that's also stupid. For baseball fans in this town. There are Yankee fans that don't want the Mets to exist. There are Ranger fans that don't want the Islanders to exist. So I think it's across all sports.
Yeah, and it's dumb to me.
Like, I agree with you. I like the two teams.
The existence is good. And if the Nets could ever get good, especially organically, it would be fun. They'll never be the Knicks. They'll never surpass the Knicks, but it could be fun. So I don't know what got our last call to bring that up, but with all due respect to Chuck D, that's an idiotic opinion. And that's okay. We all have a right to have dumb thoughts. Let's go to Mike in West Caldwell. What's up, Mike?
As hard as it sounds to believe, I think Jameis has the potential to save Dable's job. He doesn't have to fix him 100%, but if he cuts down, I mean, the guy basically throws one pick for every touchdown he throws. He cuts down on that. I would rather not waste a first-round pick, and I'll tell you why, on a quarterback. Because if you get Hunter or Carter, you've now locked up your defense. Let's say you get the 8th pick next year. Now you can throw the kitchen sink at trading down for maybe Arch or somebody else that you love, rather than, you know, you're not going to, you may have everything. Your defense is now sewn up. If you get Carter or Hunter, with all the moves that they've done, your defense is pretty much fixed. You throw in some line and stuff like that, now you throw the kitchen sink at trading down next year, and maybe
trading
that's the route you go.
Probably trading
up. I'm sorry, yeah. Trading
but
up.
But getting
yeah.
the assets yeah. now to then trade
yeah.
up.
No, I mean, I mean, it's not a horrible plan. It's just you got to wait another year. And the regime, I don't know if it lasts another year.
Well, you hit on it. That's the biggest issue.
And so you're starting over with a new regime, likely GM and head coach. And that new regime is going to say, well, do I like this construction of this team? Do I like these particular players that Joe Shane and Dave's brought in? Or do I want to do something completely different and sit static for a year, kind of like the Jets are doing, and take some chances on some long shots like Justin Fields, right? I don't know if that solves the problem for the Giants, because then you set yourself up for not only a mediocre 2025, but and then probably a mediocre 2026, and who knows what happened 27.
The problem is, this goes back to when the Giants said, hey, we're running it back with Shane and Dable. The negative to it, because there is a negative to it, is that situation you just laid out.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets are in a spot right now at 7 where they can let the draft come to them. If a quarterback falls, maybe it is Shedeur Sanders, though I doubt it, or they really love Jackson Dart and he's still there, the Jets could say, yeah, let's take a quarterback. The Jets also can say, yeah, we don't love the quarterbacks. Let's give it a year, see what we got with Justin Fields. We have time. The Giants are in a spot where this administration, to your point, does not have time.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's healthy to say, if I don't love the quarterback, don't go take a quarterback, they're in a spot where they can't think about being well-equipped for 2026 because they may not be here in 2026.
Right.
They'll be helping out a future general manager with extra assets. You're listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAM, FMHD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. Chris is in Tinton Falls. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
So a week ago, we spoke, and I said I felt like the Giants brass needed strength of conviction. Move on from Rodgers and or Wilson. I like what they did. I think Jameis Winston is a nice signing. I think Morash is right. He is what he is. But that's not terrible. They need competent play. He can give them that. He can give them some excitement. And I think that's a decent move. They cannot be beholden to these other guys because it makes them look weak. They already looked really bad last year. They got to start looking like they're back in command, as they were in year one. And I've been very critical of this regime, but I think it's a good move right now. I think this is a smart play. And if they don't even sign another veteran, I'm good with it. I'm a season ticket holder, and I'm saying
I'm good with it. I want to see decent play. Let's see what they got. And ideally, don't draft a quarterback. They still have holes.
Right.
If you really believe in it, you got to go. But a guy like Mason Graham makes that defense look real good. Abdul Carter, why not? Trade back even. Get more capital. And then in a quarterback or a supposed quarterback-rich draft, you maybe make a move a year later. As a fan, I'm saying I'm good with it.
Right.
And Tiki, real quick, do you recommend any good Broadway shows? I'm looking to go.
Broadway shows. Oh, God, we haven't been in a while. And Juliet was amazing, if you haven't seen it.
Sounds great, by the way. I want to see that one. It sounds really funny. So
I like the premise. If you haven't seen it, go see it, because you'll know every song. And the way that they cleverly take the lyrics in the song.
Shakespearean dialogue?
No, yeah. It's not even. It's because it's modern. It's the lyrics of the song. It becomes the dialogue for the characters. It is unbelievably
You've seen
done.
That?
Seen it twice. It's amazing.
Interesting.
And Juliet. Oh, so go see that, Chris.
All right.
I'm on it. Thanks.
We got to sell that. This should be a weekly spot. Tiki gives Broadway advice. Because I was listening, and so was Sean. I could tell his eyes went
up. That was great.
No, you'll know every song, because it's
90s pop music.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's my wheelhouse.
But the way that it's integrated into the dialogue of the characters, it's the song, but it's just all, you got to see it to explain it.
It's so interesting you brought this up.
I thought Tegan would fall asleep.
And she liked it?
And so this was 2 years ago he went. And she can't stay awake for anything.
Right.
Go to a movie that she wants to go. She falls asleep in 20 minutes. She stayed up the entire time.
How about that?
Watching the show. It was awesome.
I have CBS or Paramount, the app Paramount, where you can watch all the CBS shows. And I have it, but I have the lesser version where you spend $7 a month, but there are commercials. There are ads.
Yeah.
So I've been on this 90210 binging thing lately where I'm just watching season 4. I can't get enough of it. And there's a lot of commercials. It's kind of annoying. And they play a commercial for Anne Juliet over and over again, to which I shouldn't say this out loud. I finally bought tickets as a surprise.
Did you?
Yeah. Nice. So they got me. They got me to do it because the commercials kept running over and over
again. That's funny, and I did not know that.
Apparently, NSYNC's Joey Fatone is going to have a long run with them here.
Yeah, starting in a couple of weeks.
It is outstanding. It is outstanding.
Yeah. All right. He distracted me because I was going to respond to that giant point.
Yeah. I have a point, though.
Oh, go ahead.
Giant season ticket holder, and I'm sure many of you are calling today. I commend you. Bless your heart having season tickets. You're really going to have that same mentality at the end of September if the team's 1-3 and Jameis has thrown the ball over a million times saying you're good with it and they should never rookie.
1-3? No. He'll get benched for whatever rookie is.
But his point was, I don't even want him to touch a rookie, take Mason Graham or anything. I highly doubt season ticket holders come September, October, not going to be looking to turn a rookie.
There is going to be another quarterback in the. You're not going into the season with two quarterbacks in your quarterback room. So you might not get Jackson Dart, but there is going to be another quarterback that's picked up at some point.
I completely agree, but his premise was no rookie, I'm good with Jameis. No, I highly doubt that.
Look, he's saying no, don't draft a rookie to come be your hero.
Well,
I think that's what he's saying. Don't draft Cam Ward and hope that Cam Ward is the next coming. Don't draft Shador Sanders.
The tricky spot they're in is, okay, Aaron Rodgers picks the Steelers or retirement. The Giants decide, we don't want Russell Wilson. We're not dropping $30 million a year. He ends up in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So I've already laid out two reasonable situations. They will then go into the draft kind of needing to stretch for a quarterback.
Right.
And like you guys said, they don't control that third pick in terms of one of the top two quarterbacks. It is possible that Cam Ward goes 1 and Shador Sanders goes 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Giants are sitting there needing to reach on a Jackson Dart. So that would be the situation that makes me worried, because now you're in a spot where you have to draft a quarterback.
Right.
You can't sit there in a position of power. Let's go to Ben in Floral Park. What's up, Ben?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm in Florham Park, not Floral.
Oh, sorry about that. Florham Park.
No problem.
He's in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm right at Ave over there.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right next to the Jets.
Yeah. Dude, I have a lot of Jets in my building, man. They're all good guys.
Oh, yeah,
they really are. Yeah. So I was calling about Winston with the picks and whatnot, but I don't know if you guys ever saw that old clip from Parcells to Sims. If you're not throwing picks, you're not trying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd much rather have Jameis Winston than Russell Wilson. And then pick the quarterback in the second round, like the kid from Syracuse, Will Howard, Ohio State.
Right.
Is available. I mean, there's more busts in the first round, it seems, quarterbacks than not.
No,
and also,
you're right about that.
Shane passed on 6 quarterbacks last year. So he likes these
two quarterbacks better than the five that were drafted in the first round last year, or whatever.
That's a good. I mean, it's a good point. I mean, you don't think of it that way, but I think last year was different only because they had Daniel Jones under contract and they just didn't know what they were going to get. Right? Daniel Jones had a fantastic, well, not fantastic. He had a really good 2022, and 2023, he was hurt. So in 2024, like you don't know what you're getting from Daniel Jones, and so the last thing you want to do is go draft one of these J.J. McCarthy, whoever, Bo Nix, and then Daniel Jones has a great season, and now you've wasted it.
Yeah, I made this comparison last week. You may not have heard this, Sean.
Actually, when were you off? I don't actually remember. Maybe you did hear it.
My vacation seems like forever ago.
I don't remember anymore, but it was such a...
It was the beginning of last week.
Right, yeah. Monday, Tuesday.
I'm convinced you missed this because I was so proud of myself. I had this really good comparison of Giant history to Giants today. And I presented it, and even Tiki was like, that's a really good comparison. I was like, damn, I nailed it. And I never remembered what you said, probably because you weren't here. So I'm going to say it one more time for you and for most people in the audience who probably didn't hear it. And I think most people in the audience will say, eh, you know what, Evan, that's a good one. In 2018, while most people were pounding the desk for a quarterback, you were one of them, Dave Gettleman said, boy, I got this chance for a generational talent in Saquon Barkley, so I'm going to take him. People disagreed. That quarterback draft obviously looks pretty good. It looks like it's, wow, they really missed. They could have drafted Josh Allen. They could have drafted whomever. The following year, in 2019, they were in a spot where Dave Gettleman had no choice. He had to take a quarterback. And so when they drafted Daniel Jones, it may not have necessarily been that they loved him the most. It was that they knew after the decision they made a year earlier, they had to draft a quarterback. Unfortunately, you look at the last six years, didn't really work out. And they sort of wasted the incredible talent they drafted a year earlier in Saquon. Now let's go to now. Last year, they could have used a quarterback. Yeah. A lot of people were screaming to go get a quarterback. But Joe Shane saw this incredible talent. Malik Nabers, like Saquon Barkley. They drafted him. No complaints. Nabers looks awesome. Much like Barkley looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the following year, you set yourself up to be desperate. And I believe that's where the Giants are. So 18 and 19 is very similar to 24 and 25. Now, before you take a number two over my point,
and I'm gone.
Tiki thought it was great.
It was an interesting comparison. The only difference is running backs were becoming marginalized, whereas the wide receiver is becoming celebrated.
And that's certainly part of it. My other apples and oranges would be they were picking second overall in 18 with all those quarterbacks that they could pick from last year. They clearly, and we saw this on Hard Knocks, liked and identified a couple quarterbacks that they literally could not even trade up to get and then sat at sixth overall. So rather than panic take a quarterback like McCarthy or Nix, who they didn't believe in, they didn't. So I do think it is a little different.
Where I will counter is in 2018, only one quarterback came off the board before they picked in Baker Mayfield. So they did have a lot of options. But last year, only two quarterbacks came off. Three quarterbacks came off the board. And there were still guys who Bo Nix looks okay. Mm. Michael Penix so far looks okay. We'll find out about J.J. McCarthy. It's not like there weren't other first-round options for them to take.
You're right, but let's not forget on that draft night how many people mocked the Falcons and mocked the Browns, the Broncos. They did.
Right.
And the Giants probably felt that way. So it is slightly
Look,
different.
Look, the Giants, Joe Shane did his job last year because when you draft in the top 10, you better at least draft a Pro Bowler. At least, minimum. You hope you're drafting someone who's eventually going to be considered for the Hall of Fame. They did their job last year because Malik Nabers is that kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have to do it again.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a knock on the Nabers pick or even going back to the Barkley pick because those players in its own right turned out to be fine players.
Mm-hmm.
It's you got to find a quarterback. It costs people their jobs. Like, ultimately, when we now look at the body, and I don't mean the actual body because that's pretty morbid, the career body of Joe Douglas, right? He's not dead as a human, but his Jet career as GM is over. And we're kind of doing an autopsy on what went wrong. That's pretty simple. He couldn't find the right quarterback. And that's what does people in.
Right.
You can make other great picks like Garrett Wilson,
right,
like Sauce Gardner, but ultimately, if you don't get it right at the most important position, that's where you lose your job. And let's not joke around here. Year from now, that's how we're going to determine if Joe Shane is back or not. That's how John Mara is going to determine if Joe Shane is back or not. More of your calls at 888-808-1019. But when we come back, R.J. Lewis got benched in the last 4.5 minutes of St. John's loss to Arkansas. We examine what Rick Pitino said and didn't say after the game in trying to explain that decision. It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.